Right, well, as you know, we've been going through Hebrews this year, and we've got to the end of chapter 7 in Hebrews. We're going to break off just for a period of maybe 10, 11 weeks, something like that, and do this series on the fruit of the Spirit, which Dave is going to start us with today, on the topic of, he's going to introduce the series and then talk about the first of those. And then we'll be going back to finish off the book of Hebrews, picking it up at chapter 8 again. So, Dave, over to you. Thank you.
Am I coming through loud and clear? Morning, George. I'll just move myself around. We're going to be reading from Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 16, reading through to verse 26. Thanks, John. Galatians 5, 16 through to 26. And it reads like this. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Thank God for that reading from His Word. We're going to be looking the next number of weeks on the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to take one a week, so those who can count up quick, nine weeks on this series. What I want to do today, as well as looking at the aspect of love, I want us to put some background to why are we doing this series at this time. You know, is it one that was just plucked out the air? Oh, that looks like a good series, we'll do that one. Now, why is it? Where are we and why are we doing this series? A good thing to do is always to start with some questions. You know, it's amazing, isn't it, how many times Jesus was asked a question and he nearly always replied with a question. So it's good to start off with a couple of questions to help us start to think. Ask you a question. What is the potential of the bride? The bride being the church, the bride of Christ. What is the potential of the bride? Have a think about that one for a minute. Secondly, what is the God-given destiny of the bride? So two questions. What is the bride's potential and what is the bride's destiny? Now, potential, to help us think this through, potential is something you have within you. Potential is something you have within you. Something placed within you. I'm sure we've all seen a young person who has a potential. And you long to see them fulfil that potential. So those of us who like watching sport, football for example, we'll have seen the youth team and we'll spot its potential. And these youngsters, and you think, wow, they're going to be a great footballer when they get older. Potentially, something within them, something that's there. You know, potential is a God-given gift. What's the potential of the bride? What's the God-given gift? What's been placed into the bride? You know, think of from the beginning. Who were we? We were made in the image of God. We have a potential Christ-likeness. We have a potential to be Christ-like. Look into that a bit more. That's potential. Potential is a gift, something given into you. Destiny. Let's have a think about destiny. Something laid out before you. Something laid out before you. You have a potential, but you also have a destiny. It's laid out before you. Something you can choose to walk in. To walk in your destiny. You can choose to walk in your destiny, or you can choose not to bother with your destiny. One of the great orators I like reading, his work, one of the great speech makers was Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King had a potential. What was his potential? He was an amazing leader, an amazing speech maker. But what was his destiny? His destiny was to see America change forever. To see the races come together. That was his destiny. He had a potential which was a gift in place within him as a leader, as a speaker, but he had a destiny to use that gifting to change a nation and to affect the world. So, what is the potential of the bride? Nearly playing the cymbals with me, almost. What is the destiny of the bride? You know what we have to do as the bride? We have to choose to pick them up. We have to choose to use our potential. And we have to choose to walk in our destiny. It's a choice. And I just want to think this morning about choosing, just for a second. You individually have a choice. As Mount Chapel, collectively, we have a choice. As the church, citywide, nationally, we have a choice. Do we maximise on our potential? And do we fulfil our destiny? Or do we sit back? You know, there was once a man called John Bunyan, and he wrote an amazing book called Pilgrim's Progress, and it's, if you've never read it, I'll encourage you to read it. It's quite old English, so at times it's a little bit hard work, well, it was for me reading this book. But it's an amazing story of this man called Christian who goes on a walk. He goes on a journey. And he meets, he describes superbly the Christian life. He meets all different characters, all different people. People who try to stop him. People who try to hold him back. People who try to encourage him. People who try to entrap him. People who try to bring him to despair. People who try to tie him up in chains. But he has a choice all the way through this book. Does he choose to finish the journey? Or does he choose to give up? Does he choose to fulfill his destiny and maximise his potential? Or does he choose to sit down and wallow in his sorrows and say how bad things are and I can't do it? He has a choice all the way through. He has a choice whether he runs the race or he has a choice of whether he becomes a spectator. He has a choice. We have a destiny and we have a potential, but we have to choose what we do with them. I want to just look at a few Bible verses so you know this isn't just Dave King's thoughts waffling on. A few Bible verses here. Let's look at Revelation 19, 7 and 8 for a minute. Revelation 19, verses 7 and 8 reads like this. It says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready." Who made the bride ready? Herself. She had a choice. The bride has a choice to make herself ready. She's been given all that she needs to get ready. Now let's just read on an extra verse. What does it say there? Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. One amazing, beautiful bride. Fine linen stands for, what does it stand for? The righteous acts. These symbols. The righteous acts of the saints. You choose. Are you going to live righteously? Are you going to live in right accordance with the will of God? Are you going to let the fruit of the Spirit become what you are? This bride makes a choice to make herself ready. We are this bride. She makes a choice and she chooses to make herself ready by the righteous acts of the saints. Let's flick through to John 17. John 17, verses 20 to 23. Here's a prayer. Jesus is praying in Gethsemane just before he goes to the cross. And he goes through. He prays for himself first. Then he prays for the disciples who are with him. Then he prays for those who will come after him. And remember, we're thinking about the potential and the destiny of the bride. When we read through these verses. The potential and the destiny of the bride. Start at verse 20 through to verse 23 of John 17. This is Jesus. And remember this, Jesus never prayed for anything that was impossible. Jesus never bothered wasting his words on things that were impossible. What he prayed for was possible. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory, the Holy Spirit. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity. Interesting, that, isn't it? May they be brought to complete unity. Jesus never prayed for anything that's impossible. May they be brought to complete unity. What's the potential of the bride? What's the potential of the bride? May they should be brought to complete unity. Why? Why should we be brought to complete unity? Why shouldn't we all have our own ideas, our own thoughts that are contrary, that pull us away from each other? Remember, unity doesn't mean uniformity. It doesn't mean we all have to be identical. We've all got our individual giftings, individual callings, but collectively there's a unity. There needs to be a unity. There has to be a unity. Why brought together in complete unity? To let the world know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Why complete unity? So that the bride increases. So the bride grows. So more join the bride. So the power of the Spirit flows out from the bride, attracts others to the bride. That love, that joy, that peace. Let's go on. Just another verse, John 13:35 says this. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. The potential of the bride is to love itself and love him. Love itself, all the parts of the bride loving each other. Pouring out that love. Where does that love come from? From him, because we're in him. So it's just looking at each other and loving each other. Romans 12, this is the last verse here, but Romans 12. Verse 1, another famous verse. Romans 12, verse 1 says this. Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Notice at the start there it says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer. In other words, to choose to do it. To decide to do it. To choose to make my life a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. To walk in that way, to choose to walk in that way. What's the potential of the bride? What's the destiny of the bride? We've seen some of the elements of the potential of the bride there. The destiny of the bride is to marry the bridegroom. That's what the destiny of the bride is. There's no other reason you become a bride other than to get married, is there? You become a bride to get married. The destiny of the bride is to marry the bridegroom. And I just want to say, I had a brilliant wedding. A lot of you did as well. But it ain't nothing on this wedding. This is going to be, my wife's agreeing with me. This is going to be the most awesome marriage ever. When the church dressed in its white, in its radiance, in that righteous act of the saints, goes to marry the Lamb of God. That's the destiny. The potential of the bride is to be in complete unity. To be one with the Father, with Christ, filled with the Spirit. That's the potential. The potential is for its righteous acts to be one, to be brought into complete unity, to be attracting many people to join. Many people just want to join, because when they look at the bride, it's wow. Why is the bride wow? Because it's filled with the Spirit, the same glory, as from John 17, the same glory that was on Christ as he walked around the earth is now on the church. That's what is attractive. Ask you a question. You have fed up with my questions in a bit, but I've got two more. What is the potential of Mount Chapel? And what is the destiny of Mount Chapel? If we're part of the bride, what's our potential? What's our destiny? Just say this here, Mount Chapel is not a building, just like the church is not a building. I speak to many people who think that the church is a physical building. No, they've got a big tower or a steeple and it looks like this, that's the church. No, we are Mount Chapel. The people sat down and me stood up, and all the kids as well. Very much so. We are Mount Chapel. What is the potential of Mount Chapel? What is the destiny of Mount Chapel? Mount Chapel is a local expression of the bride. Okay? It's a local expression of bride. She's part of the bride. That bride that is around the world. You know, more people are becoming Christians today, every day, than ever in the history of the world. The church is growing at its fastest rate it's ever grown. Mount Chapel is part of that bride. Mount Chapel is part of that bride. She's part of the bride that stretches back to the first disciples right the way through to when Christ comes and claims his own. She's part of that bride. What is her potential? What is her gifting? What is her destiny? What is her calling? Her potential. What is her potential? Her potential, notice she's a she, because she's a bride. Okay? Her potential is to be in complete unity. That's her potential. It's for everyone to be in complete unity. Remember what I said? Unity doesn't mean uniformity, everyone's the same. Unity means everyone working together for the common purpose, led by the Holy Spirit, with all their different giftings, different abilities, different ways of doing things, as one seeing the bride built. Her potential is to be in complete unity. Her potential is to be Christ-like in all she does. wherever she goes, whatever she does, whether it's just one person of Mount Chapel or many people of Mount Chapel, her potential is to be Christ-like in all she does. That's the potential. Her potential is to keep in step with the Spirit at all times. In Galatians, it says at the end there about being in step with the Spirit. I'll just flick through there just to read it to you again. Maybe one second. It says there, verse 25, "So we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." It literally means that as a church, if we're going to fulfill our destiny, we've got to walk in unity. Notice my sense of unity? I've got my arm around two people. In case you didn't realise what I was doing, I thought I was doing big words from Sesame Street. You're going to walk in unity. So every step, we've got to decide to be led by the Spirit to reach our destiny, to fulfil on our calling, to add more, to fulfil our calling, to fulfil our potential, to reach our destiny. If we walk, if we all walk in step with the Spirit, we will fulfil our destiny. We will be there shouting out when we're fulfilling our destiny, "Maranatha! Come, Lord Jesus. We've got ourselves ready. The bride is ready. Come." I don't know about you, I want to get to that place when my potential is maximised, when the bride is ready, when the righteous acts of the saints adorn the bride, when Christ looks on the bride and his Father says, "Go get your bride. Go and get your bride. She's ready. She's radiant. She's beautiful. She's what I created her to be. She's fulfilled her destiny. She's maximised her potential. She's ready." And we're shouting out, "Come, Lord Jesus." Maranatha means "come, Lord Jesus." Potential is that we walk in step with the Spirit in every department of the church. Not just in some, but in every department. Every department is interlocked, supporting each other, encouraging each other. Run the race. Run the race. We're thanking people. We honour people for what they do. We release new potential. We'll grow, we'll multiply, we'll develop. That's the potential of the church. The potential of the church wasn't to stay with 120 people in the upper room. It was to get out of the upper room, to enjoy that time, yes, of worshipping, of honouring, you know, of honouring God and all the rest there. But as well to let it hit the streets and bring more people back. That's the potential. Her potential is to love one another. Her potential is to see the biggest harvest she's ever seen. I believe that with my whole heart. I believe there's a growth in interest worldwide in spiritual things. An example of that, you just have to look at the films that are being produced by Hollywood. Hollywood doesn't produce films for anything else but profit. They'll only produce films that people go and see. The amount of films with a spiritual content, I'm using spiritual content in a broad sense of the term, is growing. Why? Because people are interested. People are asking questions. We need to be giving answers to questions. So we've got a potential of seeing the biggest harvest and to keep on growing year on year, both spiritually and numerically. Why did the elders led by the Spirit, and I believe it was led by the Holy Spirit, not just an idea picked off a shelf, why did we decide to look at the fruit of the Spirit as the next series? Because we believe God has a destiny for Mount Chapel. We believe God has a purpose for Mount Chapel. And we believe Mount Chapel has a potential we can maximise upon. We can grow in, we can fulfil right the way across the church. Just want to read again what the fruit of the Spirit is, and just to help us start to think through this now. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit," this is Galatians 5:22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." Love. Joy. flowing through the church, love. Flowing through the church, and as it flows from the church, it flows out of the church, is love, is joy, is peace, is patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the fruit. Let's think for a minute about the fruit. That fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. That fruit is the characteristics of God Himself. That's what the Spirit, when it produces something, an apple tree produces apples because it's an apple tree. A pear tree produces pears. Why? Because it's a pear tree. The Holy Spirit produces this fruit. Why? Because that's the very essence of who God is. You could say it's the DNA of God. It's the building blocks of who God is, the fruit of the Spirit. When we're filled with the Spirit, not only have we got the giftings of the Spirit within us, and we should use the giftings, but we have the fruit of the Spirit. They go hand in hand with each other. All these, you know, if you say, Dave, where from Scripture can show that? What does it say in 1 John 4:16? God is love. That's who He is. Let's look at this. That's why we need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It's why we need to be constantly being refilled with the Spirit. To see the fruit and the giftings grow and develop like we've never seen them before. We've got an amazing legacy here. And you build on your legacy to the future. And that means it should increase. It should increase. Mount Chapel is an opportunity to be part of the biggest move of God around the world. We've got a choice. We've got an opportunity to engage in God doing amazing things in people's lives. We've got an opportunity to see people around where we live, our friends, our neighbours, our family, saved and come to faith. People healed. Families restored, etc., etc. We've got a choice to engage. We've got a choice to walk in unity and love. These fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. We've got an opportunity to let that love, that joy, that peace, etc. flow out from us. Or we can sit at the sideline and watch it go by. And enjoy watching it go by. Some people enjoy watching things go by. There's lots of people in London today watching runners go by. Not running the race, but enjoying the race. Watching it go by. See, Dave, what do you mean by that? There was a man called Bartimaeus, and Bartimaeus was blind. He had a choice. There was other blind people around Jerusalem at that time and around Israel. He had a choice. His choice was to shout out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. In other words, I'm here. Come and meet with me. Come and do it for me. Come and heal me. I want you, Jesus. He was healed. There was other people who didn't go after Jesus, with the greatest respect, who sat there and stayed the same. We have a choice. This morning, and just finishing it off, my word is love. I'm not going to go into a big speech on love because we know on the whole what love is. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13 in a minute. We're going to think. We're going to have some time just to think ourselves as we go through the list. But there's a challenge here. What are you personally going to choose? We collectively have a choice, but we individually have a choice. Are you going to choose to fulfill your potential in Christ? Are you going to choose to reach your destiny in Him? Or are you going to choose to sit back and enjoy watching the runners go past? And I mean that respectfully. You have a choice. Choices are not always easy. Acting on choices are not always, you know, sometimes they're tough. You know, some of these words, patience, not always easy, is it? Long suffering. Well, I choose that. They're not easy. But if we don't choose them, the cost is enormous. And I mean this seriously. The cost of not choosing is the cost not to show the love of God to other people. The cost of choosing not to love is the cost. What do you say? They'll know you're my disciples because you love. In other words, if you don't choose to love people, you can rewrite that slightly. They won't know you're my disciples. They won't know me because you have chosen not to love each other. You have chosen to take umbrage, whatever umbrage is. You have chosen to take it. You have chosen to have a cob on. You have chosen to take your ball home, whichever phrase we want to put there. You've chosen it. You know, it wasn't forced. No one made you do it. We either act or we react. You probably heard me say this before. We act by being led step by step by the Spirit, in the fruit of the Spirit, or we react by what people do around us. So we either act or we react. Either we make a choice to act or we just, other people make us what we are by our reacting to them. Do you want to read 1 Corinthians 13? Well, we all know it. What I want to do, I want to do something a bit different. And this is coming towards the end. It'll take a couple of minutes to do this. I want to read it through, but I want to read it through and leave a little gap between each word. Then I want you to do, there's something powerful about a prayer of agreement. You know what a prayer agreement is? When you stand with somebody, when two or three together agree on something, there's something powerful. There's something that happens. It's something powerful about speaking words out. Words are powerful. The world was created because Jesus was the Word and He spoke. So what I want us to do here, we're going to read this like, love is patient. I just want to leave literally 2 or 3 seconds, probably 10 seconds. And I want you to decide before God whether you are willing to be patient. Whether you choose patience or not. But then I want us to say collectively together, if you agree with it, don't say if you don't agree, and no one's going to be looking for who's speaking, who's not. That's your choice. But Jesus, we choose to be patient. Alright, I'll say it, and if you want to say it along, say it with me. Corporately, we speak out, this is what we're choosing to be. Okay, would it be like an act of prayer? So we're doing it as an act of prayer. Let's pray. Love is patient. Jesus, we choose to be patient. Love is kind. Jesus, we choose to be kind. It does not envy. Jesus, we choose not to envy. It does not boast. Jesus, we choose not to boast. It is not proud. Jesus, we choose not to be proud. It is not rude. Jesus, we choose not to be rude. It is not self-seeking. Jesus, we choose not to be self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Jesus, we choose not to be easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Jesus, we choose not to keep records of wrongs. love does not delight in evil. Jesus, we choose not to delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Jesus, we rejoice with the truth. It always protects. Jesus, we choose to protect. Always trusts. Jesus, we choose to trust. Always hopes. Jesus, we choose to hope. Always perseveres. Jesus, we choose to persevere. And love never fails. Father, as we look at these words, as we look at the fruit of the Spirit, and the first element being love, Father, we say now, will you refill this church with your Holy Spirit? May you fill every single person in this room who desires of you to refill them. May we be people who fulfill our destiny in you. May we be people who fulfill our potential. May we be people who just produce that fruit of the Spirit in abundance and draw others to you. Father, will you build this church? Numerically, spiritually, will you build this church? In the name of Jesus we ask it, and for your glory. Amen.